This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
And it's Warren Gaffney sitting in for Dave Fuller this week. Dave will be back in the saddle next week. Okay, our next guest is a person that's written a very intriguing titled book called 100 Perks of Having Cancer Plus 100 Health Tips for Surviving It. And in that regard, we have one of the co-authors, and that's Susan Gonzalez. And welcome to Health First, Susan.
Thank you, Warren. Thanks so much for having me here.
Mm-hmm. Now, I must say, I was intrigued by the name of the book. You know, it's a very different name for a book on cancer, and I'm wondering, why did you write it?
Well, I co-authored it with another cancer survivor. Her name is Florence Strang. Mm-hmm. She is a psychologist, and she lives in Newfoundland. Mm-hmm. She, during her treatment, she challenged herself to find 100 good things or perks during her cancer treatment, and hence the title. She and I met online. We both are bloggers. I'm a registered nurse. I do a health blog. I do small things that help people with cancer and help people try to prevent cancer, little health tips, little easy things that they can do. Mm-hmm. We found each other online, and the book was born.
Oh, okay. So how did your life change when you discovered you had cancer?
Well, pretty much everything about your life changes when you discover you have cancer. You look at things differently. I immediately looked at what I was eating, what I was doing. I looked at the internet. I tried to find ways that I could prevent a reoccurrence to reduce my risk of further cancer. And I found that there's a lot out there. And we really approached the book with a body, mind, spirit, a holistic approach. Mm-hmm. Because really, you do need that when you have cancer. It's not just what you're eating, but you do have to change what your perspective on life, your mm-hmm. perspective on everything.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I should have probably asked you this before I asked you that question, is what goes through your mind when your doctor tells you you have cancer?
Well, of course, you immediately think that your life is over because mm-hmm. cancer still today, you know, we say it's the big C word. We still think it's a death sentence. And as you know, there are many, many people living with cancer, millions of people in North America living with a diagnosis of cancer. Many are cancer-free. We say cancer-free. That means no evidence of disease. Doesn't mean that the cancer won't come back. And then there are many that are living with stage 4 cancer that have moved on to other parts of their body. So mm-hmm. it's definitely out there, and there are plenty of people that are living with this.
So stage 4 is probably what, the last stage?
Yes, there are 4 stages. So stage 4 is when the cancer has moved to another part of your body. Mm-hmm. Florence and I both had stage 3 cancer, so our cancers were into the lymph nodes. Mm-hmm. So we both needed treatment. Florence had chemotherapy and radiation, and I had chemotherapy and double mastectomy.
Hmm. And I guess when you say, when you're talking earlier about being cancer-free, does that include when it's in remission?
Well, you know, and that's the terminology is really being thrown around these days. You know, what is a survivor? What is remission? For breast cancer survivors, 30% of us, whatever stage we were first diagnosed, we have a 30% chance of it reoccurring. So you never say that you're cancer-free and you're home-free and you don't have to worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what prompted us to write this book. You know, after treatment, you're just set out there and say, okay, well, come back in 4 months and let's see if the cancer has returned. Mm-hmm. But they don't give you any instructions on what to do. What should I eat? What should I be doing? Should I exercise? These were all questions that Florence and I had. And we said, well, if we have these questions, I'm sure there are other people that have them too. Mm-hmm. So we got together and wrote this very, very easy to read book mm-hmm. that really goes through everything, body, mind, spirit. Mm-hmm. We go through food, what you should be thinking, meditations. We talk about affirmations, getting your mind and body connected mm-hmm. so that you're living not just healthier, but happier as well.
Mm-hmm. And I guess your state of mind can sort of be mitigating or aggravating to the cancer, I would think.
Absolutely. And there are studies now that are very, very good and solid on this. And Florence, being a registered psychologist, she practiced something in her practice called cognitive behavioral therapy, where mm-hmm. you can actually think your way healthy. And what you think translates into how you feel. Mm-hmm. And that really is what started her on the book. She was very depressed, and she said, you know, I have to get myself out of this depression. Mm-hmm. And she thought, and she said, well, in the 6 months that I've been sick, not once did I have to wash the dishes. You know, and that made her smile. And she said, well, if that makes me feel good, I'm going to challenge myself to find 100 things. So she started blogging, and she got quite a response. Mm-hmm. And it made her feel better. It brought her out of her depression, and it brought others out of theirs as well.
Yeah, yeah, and I imagine that's a pretty large mountain to climb.
Yes, it is. It helps, obviously, when you have good support systems, but there are things that you can definitely do to change your perspective and to help get out of that rut.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what was the best thing that happened to you because you had cancer?
I would have to say right away the courage to write this book. You know, I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would write a book and really be on my way to helping others. From the book, we have an online program called Cancer Plan for Life, and it takes the book and it brings it to people online in a 28-day online program that people, it just helps people to get started after cancer to know what they should be doing. I worked cardiac rehab. I'm a cardiac nurse. So I worked cardiac rehab for over 10 years. And, you know, when people have heart attacks, they go to cardiac rehab. They learn how to exercise. They learn what to eat. They learn about stress management. There's nothing like this with cancer, and it's time that that changed.
Absolutely. How did having cancer affect your family? I must have had some impact on them, I would think.
It definitely didn't. You know, my daughters, I have two daughters. They were 7 and 9 at the time, so they were young. And I talk to them now. Now they're in college. And I talk to them and I ask them, well, how did you feel during that time? And they said, well, we watched you go through difficulties and we learned how to overcome difficulties. And that really made me feel very good to know that how I behaved during that really helped them in their life struggles as well. And, you know, it's hard on the spouses as well. My poor husband, you know, he just wanted to make everything better. And I think it was more frustrating for him. It's sometimes more frustrating for the caregivers.
Probably felt a little pretty helpless.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, well, you mentioned one of the perks of having cancer is that people pray for you. What happened there?
And that's Florence. Florence wrote All the Perks. But, you know, when a community gets together and prays for you, there is a definite energy that you are receiving. I know I had a lot of people praying for me, and it's hard to explain, and I'm sure the science world won't be able to measure this, but there's definitely an energy, an uplifting energy, just knowing that everyone's thinking about you and praying for you. And then with each perk is a related health tip. So the health tip that I offer with that perk is to give people some guidance and some direction if they have never prayed before, if they have never thought in that direction.
Mm-hmm. I know that there's a book, Larry Dossey wrote a book called The Power of Prayer. He was a doctor, psychologist, can't remember quite what it was, but a few years back he wrote a book on that, and there's definitely power in it, there's no question.
Yes, definitely. For both, for the prayee and the prayer.
Oh, sure, sure. And with, you know, the more people praying for you, it's only good.
Correct. And that goes again with the mind-body connection. It definitely makes you feel better. And for those that don't pray formally, there are meditations and, you know, mind-body connections that you can definitely get into as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that, you know, meditation is a plus in many kinds of sicknesses or illnesses.
It is. It actually increases your immunity. Mm-hmm. The meditation actually can increase different areas of your brain. It can reduce the cortisol in your body. So cortisol is a chemical that we often have during our fight or flight syndrome. We've all heard that. Mm-hmm. When you are getting ready to run away from danger, our body sends out this chemical, and that helps to increase our heart rate, rate, our breathing. It gives us definite physical changes. Well, when we are constantly under stress, that chemical is constantly surging through our bodies, and it actually prevents healing. So your immune function is greatly reduced. Meditation can actually decrease that cortisol, help to push that down and help your healing. And also, it actually changes parts of your brain that have to do with well-being, reducing anxiety and other things.
Is there a special kind of meditation that you found helpful?
I actually listened to a lot of visualization during chemo. So I brought in my little, this was in 2005, so I had my little iPod, and I would listen to Dr. Bernie Siegel, who actually wrote the foreword for our book. And he had a great visualization where when you closed your eyes, he would take you through the inside of your body, and you would check all the systems, and you would help to bump up the immunity, and it just helps you to visualize. You're actually, you know, increasing your white blood cells, and it was very, very helpful. And there are many visualizations like that. There's some that are specific for people going through chemo. I know Bella Ruth Napperstack is another one that I used a lot of too. But if you go online and search, there are plenty, and we give a lot of these resources in the book as well.
Yeah, and I know that you know, Buddhism has obviously has meditation, and Taoism and Christianity also has meditation. So there's something out there for everybody.
Exactly, and it could be as easy as just breathing. You know, there are many breathing meditations where you don't need a recording or anything. It's just focusing on your breath.
Yeah, Thich Nhat Hanh does that. He's very big on that. He's a Vietnamese monk, and he's really big on the breathing, walking breathing exercises.
Yeah, the walking meditations
That's
are wonderful.
Walking meditation, yeah. Okay, how does having cancer change your perspective on life?
Well, I feel like I've faced death. And anyone that's done that, you definitely get a different sense of appreciating the here and now, appreciating what you have, just being grateful for every moment. And that really changes how you react to things. You know, things don't really bother you as much, or at least that's how I find it. I'm able to take chances that I normally wouldn't have taken. I'm able to do things that I normally wouldn't have done. And I've heard that from other survivors as well. So I'm actually enjoying my life more, actually. I know that sounds crazy. I call cancer my brick in the head. My brick in the head was wake up and start enjoying your life. And thank goodness I got that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I would imagine for sure that when you get that kind of a diagnosis, you really do appreciate the time you have.
Yes, definitely. Every moment is a gift. And, you know, with the old adage, stop and smell the roses, I keep roses all around me. So.
Right on. Okay, we're just going to take a quick break now. And Susan, we'll be back in a few minutes.